Great. So I'm going to talk. It's a very serious topic. So, but I'm gonna do it from the point of view. I'm talking to my daughter. So the topic for tonight is love, sex, and everything in between. Okay. Have all of you heard of sex? Do you know what sex is? Okay. And you need to say what sex is. Great, that's good. Okay, so there's a next slide. There's my daughter. So I was thinking, my daughter is growing up. I need to teach her about sex. I need to talk to her about what's gonna happen when she is a teenager. I need to talk to her about the boys. I need to talk to her about how to deal with everything that's happening to her body. So I'm going to speak from that point of view. I'm talking to you as a parent would talk to their children. So it's going to be very straightforward, but I believe we need to do this, else we're not real. Else we can't address the issue that needs to be addressed. And I just want to thank James for his obedience. One of the things that the devil is trying to do is he's trying to defile a younger generation, especially through the sexual part of who we are. Again, James was saying there's a revival coming, but the more we're standing up and praying into this revival, the devil is going to try and hit at us. Okay, so we need to stand firm in this area of purity and holiness. And maybe just from the word go, do you know that to be pure and to be holy is one of the most amazing, adventurous, exciting things to have and to pursue? It's really one of the most amazing things to have and to pursue. Okay, so I just want to pray before we start. I want to pray that God also keeps the devil out of your mind so that you don't feel condemned when we talk about certain topics. Some people are going to share their testimonies and maybe you're going to relate to those testimonies. The idea is not to condemn you. The idea is to give you hope and to tell you that there's freedom for you, even if you've maybe sexually missed the point of sin. Okay, so thank you, Jesus, that you are in this room. Thank you that you love us so much, God. And thank you that you are the restorer of everything, even sexual impurity, even sexual sin, Jesus. Lord, and we submit every mind, every heart, every soul in this room to you right now. And we tell the devil to go away because he's not welcome in this place. Because we are called to be saints and we're called to be holy and we're called to relate to you in that way. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, you guys standing, you can come in if you want to. Jullie kan maar inkom hoor. If jullie inkom. Okay, so I'm going to call up Lucinda. This lady is amazing. She's one of the most amazing, courageous, young Christian women that I know. But she has a story to tell, and I want you to listen carefully, because what she's bringing to tonight is God's victory, even though we've sometimes missed the mark. Okay, amen.
One, two. Excuse. Amot gesê, ek kan in Engels praat, so ek vertrou dat ek my testimony in Engels kan doen. Ek is eintlik Afrikaans. Maar dis fyn. Amot gaan preek, ek gaan net deel. Ek is Lucinda Josephs, I'm from Cornwall. I'm not a tannie for iemand het net van my gesê tannie. So ek is nie 'n tannie nie, ek is 23. Ek kan nie 'n tannie wees nie. Ek is in my laaste jaar. Ek is 'n student onderwyser. Bly saam met my ouers nog. Ek het 'n seentjie, is daar agterens. I just want to share what God has really done in my life and where I've been and where I'm now. And I don't want you to focus on everything that have happened. I want you to focus on the outcome because God has really been gracious to me. And if I can give a warning, stay pure. Abstain from sex. That's the whole point why I'm preaching, while I'm actually sharing my testimony with you guys. Okay, so I was actually 14 years old when I became pregnant, and 15 years old in George Hospital, having a baby. It was, ek kan regtig waar sê dat ek nie beplan het om 16 nie, en dat jy is nu tienerjare en jy daai mooi ookie en allemaal wil net om my heen, en toe gaan ek ook vir dit. En ja, ek is toe swanger en continue with my school career, telematric, in my first year in NMU. Throughout this, I really didn't know God, although I had like a sexual integrity course with options where they really taught you about the dangers of sex, how it infects your body, your nature, your integrity, your identity, whatever. But they also led me to Jesus Christ, which was amazing. So after that all, my first year, still going on with guys and stuff, and in my first year, I had my first abortion. So that was quite hectic. And after that, I just went into like six more sex and alcohol in my life. Just, but, and then life continues. I wear mask. Like I just went on like nothing happened. And in my third year, another abortion, sex, unprotected sex. Just falling for the wrong guy every time and just, yeah. And then I met awesome people and I just went back to options. And I say, Lori, I'm broken. I need Jesus. And he made me free, guys, really. He made me free. Yes, there's a price to pay. The cost is so high, so high. It's not a joke to have two abortions. It's not a joke to have a baby when you're like on school. Mense kyk na jou en hulle. Ja, maar jy het my vrygemaak en ek wil net saam julle deel. Ek het net 3 minute, so dis 'n kort verhaal. Ek wil net met julle deel Psalms 34. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So I'm not condemned, and even though people look like, ek sê nie jy moet abortus doen, ek sê nie jy moet, dis hoekom ek sê abstain. Get someone to talk to. Yes, I hate people. I have done sexual integrity courses, but get real with God. Like, walking with the Holy Spirit is just amazing. Yeah, you literally die to yourself every day. So, yeah, that's all what I will say.
Amen. Okay. I want us to practice something. Lucinda, come and stand here again. Okay, we're gonna stand up and we're gonna applaud her for what she's done now. Okay? Amen. 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 What an intro. So yeah. Thank you. So God is faithful, and He is gracious. And what Lucinda just shared is a story of so many girls in the area that we live in. And we can take a stand. We can start saying, Jesus, I have control over my body. I have control over my sexual desires, and I'm going to stand for purity, and I'm going to stand for holiness, and I'm going to stand for the ways of God. And that will actually, it will not only open a door to you to experience more of God, but also open a door to other people to be set free. The reason why Lucinda could share this is because people that were pure, people that understand the holiness of God, walked a road with her. And that's amazing. So God created us for love. Do you know that? God created your sexual desires. God created your hormones. Do you know that? God created it. It's a good thing when you're married. It's a good thing. And even when you're not, it's still a good thing because God created it. I'm going to go to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, the last scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, and also in the first one and 14. It says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, But the greatest of these is love. Pursue love. So Paul is writing to the church of Corinthians and he says, hey guys, you were created to do something. And there's a couple of things that's really important. It's faith, hope, love. Love is the most important thing. Go and read 1 Corinthians 13. It's an amazing, amazing chapter. And he's explaining to us that what John is also saying is that God is love. So if we are created in the image of God and God is love, that means we are created in the image of love. So we are made, we are created to love and to be loved. If you turn on the radio, what songs are you going to hear? You're going to hear love songs. You're going to hear songs, especially Afrikaans music. You're going to hear songs about Die Sokkie Bokkie and that girl. You're going to hear people trying to put in words the thing that God placed in them. And for me, this is the context in which we should look at sex, is love. And last week, Luke explained it so beautifully. He said, love is to not think of yourself, but to think of the other person that you're wanting to love, to sacrifice even for that person. So when we're thinking of love, we must think of God first and how God loved the world. He sent Jesus. He sacrificed his son. That is our example, the model that we have when we want to love other people. When we want to pursue love, is that we must give up of ourselves so that somebody else can have more. Because that is who God is. So the context of tonight and the context of Lucinda's sharing is we want to get to a place where we can love well, where we can love other people. I want all of you to go out here tonight and you must be lovers of God and lovers of people. But one of the things that really keep us from doing that is when we get defiled in the area of our sexuality. And some of us have been abused. Some people have come from the outside and you didn't even ask for it and they've abused you. Somehow they've violated your sexuality. And that is wrong. But tonight we're going to trust that God restores that to a place of perfect holiness, to perfect purity, because God can do that. God can do that. We're going to trust that after tonight, if you're not a virgin, you're going to be a virgin. You're going to be a virgin spiritually, emotionally, and we're even going to trust you to be physically a virgin. My dad, he's also in the ministry. He has a story of a girl who they prayed for, and the girl, even a virginity was restored physically. When she got married, she found out she was still a virgin. Because God restored. That's the kind of God that we serve. So the context is love. But then listen to 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18. And this is so important for us. It says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Paul is saying sex or sexual immorality, and we're going to look at what that means, is stupid. It's like hurting yourself. Who in his right mind will do that? Nobody wants to do that. Sexual immorality is not hurting or getting anything from somebody else, even if you want to hurt somebody else. Even the person that goes out and wants to rape a girl, he's hurting himself. You're sinning against your own body. And that word for sexual immorality in the Greek, it's porneia. It sounds like something, eh? Porneia. That's where we get the word pornography from. It means selling off your sexual purity. Now, a lot of the time, I get this question, Amo, so how far can I go? If you ask that question, you're already too far. Then you're not thinking of love. You're not thinking in the context of pursuing love first. You're not thinking of your own purity. You're not thinking of pleasing God. You're not thinking of your future husband. You're not thinking of your girlfriend's future husband. Because most of you that are in a relationship in this very moment, that's what stats tell us, is that's not your wife. That's not going to be your wife. So you may be stewarding your wife or your girlfriend for somebody else. And you want to do a good job with that. Maybe you like me, and I met my wife when I was 16 years old, and we fell in love. We went out for a year, and then we broke up when I was grade 12, and then 4 years later, fell in love again, got married, 3 kids. Maybe you're one of them, but that's not usually the case. Okay. So it says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So what does that mean? That means whenever you are tempted with sexual immorality, you shouldn't go like, oh, sexual immorality, let's get closer, let's scroll down Instagram, or let's kiss for 5 seconds longer, or hey, let's see how far we can go, or hey, let's have a conversation about how far, where we draw the line. No, it says the moment you get tempted, you run, baby. Yeah, hardloop. Why? Because it's one of the things that you can't trust. You can't trust your hormone vertrouwen. You can't trust your hormones. You can't. You can't. Like, there's Christian people. They are lovely Christian people, and they're in marriage, and they married. And then you ask them, so did you plan this baby? And they said, no, that was an ongeluk. I'm like, and then they say, yeah, it was in the heat of the moment. They're Christian, they married, God's with them, and that happens. They are pastors that tell you those kind of, what, and why does it happen? Because you can't trust it. You can't trust. Don't try and trust it. You can't. So the moment you get in contact with sexual immorality, and sexual immorality is anything that has a hint of temptation in it, whether it's kissing your girlfriend on the lips, whether it's looking at your Instagram feed, whether it's going onto the internet, whether it's looking at a certain romantic comedy, that if that is taking you closer to sexual immorality or is tempting you, even in just a little bit, then you need to flee from it. I remember, and I've told the story many times, like I struggled with pornography. I would say I was enslaved to pornography because I had to do it every week, else I felt that I needed something else. And then God told me, Alma, you need to get out of this, else you're going to end up as a pedophile. That's what I felt God telling me. And that scared the hell out of me. Yeah, literally. It scared the hell out of me. And then God told me, Alma, don't even read the burger. Because on the page, oh, but, you know, it's, so, on page 3 in the burger, there was the celebrity section. From time to time, there would be girls in bikinis. And that would be tempting for me. Maybe not for everybody, but it was tempting for me. So what did I do? I didn't read the burger. Because everything that has a hint of temptation in it, you need to run from it as far as possible. Okay, so tell the person next to you, flee from sexual immorality. Okay, great. Geweet julle het geen hulle wakker hou. Okay. So, why do we want to flee from sexual immorality? Why do we want to flee from it? Why? Yeah, okay, it's tempting. Why do we want to flee from it? It is sin. Okay, what does sin do? It separates us from God. So, okay, I need your attention here. So the reason why we want to flee from sexual immorality is not, it's not only because it's ugly and it's filthy. No, it's because it separates you from God. And God is love. Without God in your life, you can't love. And without love, you can't live. So some of you are thinking, if I can just get further with this goal, then I'm going to feel loved. But that doesn't work that way. Because the moment you get further with this goal, you enter into sin, then God gets separated from you, not because He wants to, but because you build a wall between you and God through that sin. And that separates you from love, so you'll actually feel less loved. And you feel broken, and you feel destroyed. And I've dealt with many girls and boys in this area. All kinds of love. All kinds of perversions. So God's telling us tonight that He wants a generation that are lovers of God and lovers of people. And He says one of the things that you must do in order to be lovers of God and to be lovers of people, because I want to love my friends well. I want to love my wife. I want to love my kids well. They must see Jesus in the way that I love them. Lucinda must see Jesus in the way that I love her as a single mom. The way that I protect that love that God has given me is I preserve my purity. I flee from sexual immorality. And I still do it today. I'm married, I have 3 kids, I have a most amazing, beautiful wife. And I still know that I can't trust myself in this area. So if there's a movie 2 to 16 or even 2 to 13 with sex in it, I don't watch it. Why? Because I flee from sexual immorality. It's my weakness. I flee from it. My wife, whenever there's something coming up on the TV, she will grab my eyes and say, Alma, don't watch it. Because I'm weak? No. Because I love, and I love God. And I want to love her better. And I create the environment around me when I can be honest about it. Like, I wrote an article on News 24, Nies 24 back in the day, about pornography and how I struggled with it. And then my dad phoned me and he said, hey, Almo, he's a Duomini. He also struggled. He said, I also struggled with pornography. Let's keep each other accountable. If your dad tells you that he's going to keep you accountable with regards to pornography, you better listen. So my life I've structured in a way that I can flee from sexual immorality well. Why? Not because I only hate sin. Yes, I hate sin, but I hate sin because it keeps me away from God. And Jesus is the lover of my soul. Jesus is everything. And I know some of you guys are walking that road and it's amazing. But I want to stir all of you tonight to walk this road of purity, because then you can be better representatives of who Jesus is if you love well. Sexual immorality just defiles you. And it takes you into guilt and condemnation. It is the stupidest thing I've ever done is to get my hands on pornography. It was the stupidest thing. It's so stupid. I hate it. Let's read Proverbs 6, 27 and 29. It's from the Message translation. It's up there. It says, can you build a fire in your lap and not burn your pants? Love the Bible, huh? Can you walk barefoot on hot coals and not get blisters? It's the same when you have sex with your neighbor's wife. Touch her and you'll pay for it. No excuses. And this is not only with regards to when you are married and your neighbor has a wife. If you're sleeping around with any girl, you are having sex with your neighbor's wife. And the Bible says, can you build a fire in your lap and not burn your pants? No, you can't. By the way, you can't. Galatians 5, 19 and 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. So the works of the flesh, that's the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And listen to what Paul says. So he's writing this to the church and people that love Jesus. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he says, this is so serious, people. If you're going to continue in this, then you're going to miss the destination. I've called you to walk this road, and if you're going to continue in this, and it includes drunkenness, orgies, sensuality, rivalries, dissensions, in other words, relational stuff, offense between people. If you're going to continue walking in this, then you're going to miss heaven. And it's great having heaven in your bed with a girlfriend, but it's bad not having heaven when you die in your grave. So which one do you prefer? Obviously, when you die, you want to go to heaven. You want to see Jesus. And the great thing is that when we allow holiness, when we allow purity, when we allow the Holy Spirit to enter us, we get access to heaven this side of eternity. So I already have an experience of heaven in me. I don't have to wait for heaven one day. That's amazing. So I want to keep this. I want to keep heaven safe in my life. I don't want to defile it because it's the most precious thing. It means that I can commune with God. It means that I can have a relationship with God. That's the one thing that keeps me going is my relationship with God. It's the most amazing, most precious thing in my life. Why would I mess it up? It's stupid. So, sexual immorality is in the context of love. God created your sexual desires. God created your hormones. God created everything. He created even your sexual drive. Us as men, we are visually orientated. That first time you realize that, wow, this lady is beautifully and something is going on here in your stomach. That's not a bad thing. And God has also called us to have relationship, and he has called us to pursue the other gender. He has called us to be in relationship, to date the other gender. He has called us to do that. So in the context of love, we must flee from sexual immorality because it spoils the way that we can love. So how can we now pursue dating girls? How can you pursue boys? Boys, how can you pursue goals within this environment? Because it's part of who God created us to be. It's, we want to love. I remember when I was young and the first time I met Cornell, I'm like, sure, man, I like this girl. Met her at a garage party behind my friend's house. Introduced myself as my brother because she knew my twin brother. He looks exactly like me. And she went like, Yayas ni Kenny ni. You are not Kenny. It's my brother's name. I said, you are Amo. I said, yeah, I am Amo. Can I meet you? Hello, Cornell. I guess Amo. I'm already in love with you. That kind of thing. It was love at first sight. It was really like that. And I remember sitting in the maths class. I couldn't focus on maths. I was just thinking of Cornell. She stole my heart from the very first moment. And that is lovely. That is from God. And we had a very pure relationship in high school. Really a very pure relationship. I was very religious, but God somehow, through the advice of my parents, through the advice of her parents, kept us pure in that relationship. And it was amazing. And we became such good friends in that period, the year that we went out. So I'm going to share a couple of dating tips Great. Are you guys ready? Het jy hulle fone, jy kan hierdie afneem. You can use it. Quote me if you like. Okay, so it's, the first one is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. It speaks of, Paul says that being single is actually a blessing. Go and read it. Who of you are single in this room? Okay, so maximize your singleness. It doesn't mean that you can go and kiss all different girls. No, that's what I'm talking about. Maximize your singleness. Okay. Hey, listen here. So, what I mean by that is spend time improving your relationship with God, because that's the most precious thing that you can give to the person that you're going to marry one day, is that you are restored and that you are whole. Come and serve in the church. Go on a mission trip. Read your Bible. Get a hobby. Get exercise. But maximize your singleness. The second one, become the right one before you try and find the right one. Okay, so that means that some of us have this idea that I'm so messed up, but one day if I find the right one, then I won't be messed up. Then somehow she will bring or he will bring wholeness to my life. That is not true. So become the right one. How do you become the right one? You spend time with God. You come to church. You take in what's happening. You come to small group. You come to youth camp. You read your Bible. You worship Jesus. You ask God to make you whole. You come to a counselor if you have problems. But you spend time to become the right one, because that's the most amazing gift that you can give your wife one day. When you stand there and the guy says, kiss the bride, and you give her your everything in that kiss. But that's the most amazing thing that you can give her, is somebody that's whole, without issues, and it is possible. Okay, the third one, if you can't think of marriage, don't think of romantic relationships. Okay, this is a tricky one. So what do I mean by this? I mean, if you're looking at someone and you're wanting to date someone, and you can't see yourself marrying that person. I'm not saying that you have to marry that person in a year's time when you're 14 years old. No, your dad, your mom's gonna kill me for that. I'm just saying that you have to think about marriage when you're wanting to date somebody. When Kunal, when I first met her, I thought, wow, I think I can marry this girl. And she was, I think I was 16 and she was 15 years old. I thought, wow, she loves Jesus. She has good character. We relate very well, sense of humor-wise. I can see myself marrying her. We never talked about marriage. Don't talk about marriage when you're 15 years old. Don't go and, hey, I feel God saying that I need to get married to you one day. That's manipulation. If you do that, I'll kick your boater. Okay? I'm going to boater score. Don't tell anybody that God told me that you should be in a relationship with me. That is not how God operates. God always uses your choice to do that. Okay? So if you can't think of marriage, don't think of romantic relationships. Because else you're only in it for yourself. Because in the end, marriage is, Bible says, the husband must lay down his life for his wife. If you think, well, I'm gonna date this girl just to have a good time, you're only thinking of yourself. But if you think like, okay, I want to build friendship here and I want to see how this thing develops. And maybe there's just, she loves Jesus, she loves the Lord, she loves to worship, she loves the church. Maybe there's something in this. Then you're going to go a lot slower, because it's not for you. It's not only for you. You want to serve your princess. You want to build, you want to mold this princess. Okay, 4, friendship is the only ship that can take you to the love boat. So in other words, if you can't be friends with this girl, you can't get into a relationship. Romantic relationship will not work. It will not work. If you can't be friends with this girl, if you're not building on friendship, in other words, you're sharing things, you're doing life together with other friends. If you're young, do it with other friends. Don't spend time alone by yourself all the time, just you two. Do it together with other friends. If you can't see yourself being a friend to this girl, don't try and date her, because it's not going to work. Because only friendship can take you to love. Because in marriage, when the difficult times come, what's going to happen? You're going to go back to your friendship. You're not going to go back to that chemistry feeling, that butterflies in your stomach. That's going to be far gone. And then you're going to go back to your relationship. And that's your friendship. Then five, if the one that you want to date is not a Christian, then no. Near. Do you understand that? 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, it says, we cannot be unequally yoked. If you want to see how much destruction this thing brings, go and look at a marriage where the one is an atheist, where the wife is an atheist, and the husband is a Christian. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And then, because there's so many Christian people out there and they're not really Christian people, you need to ask yourself, is this person living like a Christian? Does his or her mother know he's a Christian? In other words, the way that he treats her, the way that he makes his bed. Can you see when you look at his room, when you look at his Instagram account, her Instagram account, can you see that she's a Christian? Ask those questions to you. Does he have control over his desires? If he gets drunk at every single party, then he doesn't have that thing under control. And he won't be able to control himself with you. If I'm talking to Eva, and Eva comes home one day and says she has this boyfriend, but Papa, from time to time, he gets drunk at a party, I'm just going to go, sorry. No. You know what? Next. Yeah. Why? Because I know that if he can't control himself with alcohol, I'm not trusting him to keep my princess intact. You understand what I mean? So it comes back to becoming the right one. Sort yourself out so that you will actually be a blessing in a relationship. The idea to have a relationship is not to get a blessing, but to be a blessing. And another one is, don't try and be the hero. So you see this guy, you like him, but he's not Christian. You want to get him to church, so you're mission dating it. You mission date him. So you go like, I want to get him to church, I'll take him on a date. It's not going to work. Okay. Then six, you are probably dating another person's spouse. And the way that you treat the person that you are dating, there's probably somebody else that's treating your wife or your husband in the same way. So everything that you want to be done to your husband or your wife, you must do to your partner, dating partner. So and I tell girls and guys who go into relationships, all of them the same thing. So now I'm dating Monica. Sorry, Luke. So I'm still young. I don't know if she's my wife. But there's a friendship. I like her sense of humor. I like the way that she looks. I love her intelligence. Monica, by the way, is very intelligent. And I'm pursuing. So we're having coffee dates. And then I realize I feel more for Monica. So I go, Monica, I don't know how to put this, but I actually like you more than a friend. And she's like, And she responds positively. So now my challenge is to add value to her life in such a way that if we break up and another person wants to marry Monica like a Luke, that she must be in a better state after that breakup than she was before the breakup. And if you can't do that, then don't date. You need to be able to add value to that person. And I'm not against dating when you're a teenager, because I dated my wife and I really enjoyed it. It was an amazing time. And we really had a great relationship. It was so much fun. Because both of us were sorted out, we didn't have too much issues, and we really wanted to add value to each other's lives. People are walking out. They're dating. And then, okay, the last one is your friend and your mentor needs to know. And what do I mean by that? It means that you need to talk about your relationship with your friends. If you don't talk about your relationship with your friends, you're not open and honest. And you need to tell them, hey man, please pray for me. Hey, what do you think? Do you think we're a match? And then preferably you should have a mentor, somebody that can speak into your life that's already married, or somebody that's in a solid relationship. And you can ask them, hey, so I'm struggling with this, or this happened, or this issue came up. How should I deal with it? There should be an open communication channel between you and your friends and your mentors. And for some of you, that's going to be your parents. Some of you need to go home tonight and you say, hey, this girl likes me, or I like this girl, or he likes me. Dad, what do you think? I remember when I got married, there was a girl who was visiting, or he dated my sister-in-law and my dad, father-in-law. He came to me and he said, Amo, I don't really like this guy. And he said, but Amo, the guy I really want for Sumin, that's my Cornell's sister, is Johan Stadler. What do you think? And I said, yeah, I would love Johan Stadler to be my swar, my brother-in-law. So 2 years down the line, Sumin marries Johan Stadler. Why? And I still feel it's so true, because a father knows. If your father loves you, he knows. And you need to build relationship with your father in such a way that he feels welcome in that area, to speak into that area. I remember when I brought Cornell home and my grandfather was there, my grandfather went to my dad and he told my dad, Amo should keep what he has. And I was 16 years old. Amo should keep what he has. My grandfather, old wise man, he should keep what he has. And I did it. Thank you, grandfather. I did it. Again, I'm going to ask Yana to come and share a testimony.
Okay, hallo julle. Dit het begin toe ek 3 jaar oud was. Toe het my pa selfmoord gepleeg. En my ma het weer getrou met 'n man wat nie baie goed was vir ons nie. Hy was 'n alkoholis en ja, dit het net soos geen verhouding in ons. Okay, en ja, daar was soos geen verhouding in ons gesin nie. My suster en my ma en ek, soos niemand het met mekaar gepraat vir seker 5 jaar. Daar was soos niks. En toe in graad 9 het ek soos begin angsaanvalle kry as my stiefpa soos nader kom. En dit my ma besef soos, okay, sy moet met die man skei, want hy is goed vir ons nie. En ja, vriende was altyd 'n groot deel van my. Ek het baie vriende gehad op skool en dis maar waar ek gegaan het naweke, want ek wou nie by die huis wees nie. En toe ek 15 jaar oud is, toe ek regtig so 'n ernstige verhouding gekom. En ek was baie erg oor die ou en ja, dit het tot seksuele goed gelei. En toe in graad 11 het ons opgebreek en dit was baie erg vir my en ek het dadelik na ander goed toe gegaan soos okay. drank en net soos daha en al die goedjies want mense nie met haar nie en ek het ook met ander ouens ja, soos geslaap en goed. Dit was baie soos die mekaar, dit was einde graad 11 en toe soos na 'n maand, toe besef ek soos al hierdie goed is net leeg want ek soek nooit meer, dis iets wat ek soos van my pa gemis het en ek soek dit by ander mense, ek soek soos ek het dit oral anders gaan soek behalwe by die Here. En toe het ek einde graad 11 te kry depressie baie erg, ek het my lewe gehaat want alles was net soos so die mekaar, ek het al my palle verloor, en, ek het ek soos, ek het twee keer soos, rarig self met probeer pleeg, wat ek rarig soos, dit gedoen het, maar, dier het my gespaard, dier, een van my vriendinne, wat soos, in het, ingeloop het, en, ek het ook myself soos, myself seer gemaak, en, toe het my ma dit uitgevind, en sy het my kliniek toegestuur, en ek was kliniek toe en ek het weer uitgekom en ek het net weer dieselfde goed gedoen want ek het alles self probeer doen. Ek het nie die Here toegelaat om my te verander. Ek het nie eintlik die Here geken nie, my familie ook nie, my ma en my suster ook nie. Niemand het mekaar gepraat nie, so ons kon ook nie oor die Here praat nie. En toe ja, toe val ek net weer terug in alles en toe gaan ek weer terug kliniek toe. Toe gaan ek skool toe. En actually, dit was baie erg, want toe het ek klaar my pelle verloor. En toe gaan ek Valentijnsbal toe. En toe kom my ou na my toe, een van my beste pelle, toe sê vir my soos, ek hoor jy is swanger. En dit was my baie erg, want ek was nie. En toe het ek op my skool toe gaan. Toe het ek vir die hele kwartaal geweier om weer skool toe te gaan. En ja, dit was baie sleg toe ek soos actually skool toe gegaan het. Want ek het niks pelle gehad nie en hulle het baie soos rumors gemaak oor my. En ja, toe kom ek in 'n ander verhouding wat ook baie seksueel was en wat ook soos dit was nie 'n goeie verhouding nie. En actually daai ou later my sjofer toe genooi en dit wys ook net vir my soos hoe die Here enigiemand kan gebruik. En soos ewen ouens wat gebroken is, as dit nie vir hom was nie, sou ek ook nie hier gewees het nie. En ja, ek kan nie eens onthou wanneer dit was nie, maar ek het kerk toe gekom saam met hom. En ek het actually begin glo, maar ek wou nie alles wat gaan het nie. En ek was regtig op 'n slegte plek en ek het die duivel het al soveel leuns in my kop vertel dat ek soos ek wou nie heeltemal surrender nie. Ek was so in die wêreld, maar ek het ook geglo 'n bietjie. En dit was regtig soos dis 'n baie slegte plek om te wees, soos of jy met heeltemal of jy met glad nie, want jy is so vulnerable dan, en dis van die duivel jou die meeste kan aanval. En ja, toe trek almal hulle soos oorkant ons in, en ek het hulle ontmoet. En ek het vir die eerste keer in my hele lewe actually 'n gesonde verhouding gesien, soos hoe dit eintlik met 'n pa en 'n dogter is, en soos 'n huwelik, wat ek nooit geken het nie. En ja, toe was ek al klaar soos gebroken, en dit kon nie erger vir my wees nie. En toe gee ek my hart vir die Here, en ek onthou, toe is ek al op, ek het vir 2 jaar lank, ek kon nie slaap sonder slaaphulle nie, en ook nie, ek moes elke dag antidepressante drink, en ek het al met een hond vir my gebid, en ek raai goed dadelijk daai hond weggegooi, en ek het nog nooit weer soos sonder het, soos ek slaap sonder het, en ek gebruik het glad weer nie, en ja, my ma het, vanat my pa dood is, toe ek 3 jaar oud is, op haar kerk toe gaan. Sy het glad nie, soos, belang gestel daarin nie, want sy is baie seer gemaakt deur die kerk, en sy het actually ook graad 11, graad 12, dit sy vir die eerste keer by kerk te kom en sy is nou soos baie on fire vir die Here. En my sussie ook, ons het my sussie die 18de gedoop. Ek ook eintlik, ek was deel van dit was baie special vir my gewees. En o ja, dit was soos, ons het nooit verhouding gehad, niemand met mekaar gepraat in ons gesin nie tot graad 12. Dit was actually vir die eerste keer met mekaar gaan begin praat. Soos my sussie en my ma het letterlik nie eers vir mekaar hallo gesê in die oggende nie. En ja, toe kom almal in my lewe en die dag wat ek soos nooit sal vergeet nie was om met my eendag fankort te gevat. En ek het daar gesit en ek het soos nog my verstand aan en was soos uitgehol daai dag. En hy sê vir my, wat? O, ek bring jou fankort toe, want dis wat jy verdien. En dis iets waarmee ek baie gesukkel het en ek het altyd gevoel ek verdien daai slegte ou en ek verdien dat ouens my so gebruik want kyk al die goed wat ek al aangevang het en dis rarig leens en as daar meisies is wat so voel soos moenie die duivel glo daar nie. En ja, ek is soos die 18 Oktober laas jaar. Nee, ja, laas jaar gedoop. En soos al die goed wat ek aangevang het met ouens en soos drank en alles. Dis heeltemal agter my en dis nie wie ek is nou nie en dis rarig iets wat soos dood is. En dis iets waar ek skaam is nie, want die Here het my vry gemaak daarvan en ja, die Here kan rarig enig iemand vry maak van enige iets, enige sonde, soos geen sonde is vir hom te groot nie. En ja, dankie.
Thanks, Yana. I'm gonna translate because it's such a cool story. So Yana lost a dad when she was 3 years old, and then her mom married another man. He was an alcoholic and was in a good relationship, and she just lost a went different way and ended up sexual relationships with boys, near clinic because of depression. Then God set her free and God restored her. And he made her pure. And she knows the worth in her life. Okay, let's make this commitment, okay? You've heard stories of people who've gone astray, but they came back and God restored them, and God wants to do the same for you. And I have this sense that if we are willing to follow God's lead in this way, that we're going to see this massive revival that James was speaking about. We're going to see people being set free of so many things. Okay, so this is not only for you, but it's also for your friend. It's also for your parents. It's also for your children that's coming. Okay, let's stand.